Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range, which has now landed. Sam McClure and Jimmy Bartel with you. And it's with great privilege that we are joined live by one of Australia's greatest ever jockeys in Glenn Boss. Glenn, it's always a special weekend, the Cox Plate. I'm sure it holds a special place in your heart, but it's bittersweet, I can only imagine, for you this time round, given what happened to the great Sir Dragon A. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening, guys. How are you all?
We're good.
That's good. Yeah, no, it's, isn't it bittersweet? You know, like a week ago, you're thinking about defending your title and, you know, like that Colt was, Sir Dragon A was trending in the right direction and, you know, you're thinking that you're excited about, getting down here and thinking that you might be able to hold another Cox Plate. But unfortunately, the nature of the game that we're in, it's in sport in general, right, there's, you know, there's injuries that can occur, and unfortunately it was the biggest injury that a horse can have, and he's going to be sadly missed.
Glenn, Jimmy Bartel here. I love hearing your thoughts on all the big races. You've ridden legends. You've ridden everywhere possible. What makes the Cox Plate so different and so intriguing from a jockey's point of view?
Oh, Jimmy, it's a combination of so many things. You know, Moonee the Valley is it's a unique piece of real estate, and where it sits, you know, you sit up there and you look down at this Melbourne skyscraper, and you know, and the intricate part of that track, it's you know, it's tight, it's turning, it's going down, it's up, it's a real thinking jockey's track, and that's why I love it. It's you know, it really keeps you on your toes, and when you go through the history of this race, and you know, I'm a real history buffer, it's sort of like, there's only champions win this race, and what I'm saying is, generally, there's about 50% of the winners of this race are the favourites. So they're very well found. They're the good horses that win. It's just such an amazing event. And obviously, you know, you get that crazy crowd on the day, and they're on top of you, and, you know, 20 or 30,000 feels like 120,000 because they're just all on top of you. So it's just a unique atmosphere.
Glenn, Sam and I think we're pretty much experts in racing.
We love
to watch it. And you hear from other racetracks, you know, Flemington, the Clock Tower, different racetracks and races. If you're in this position, you're the best chance to win, or if you're in that position, you're no chance. Anything like that happen at the Valley? When we watch the race, if we see Very Elegant, Animo, Zaki, if they're in a certain position, are we going, tick, that's a win, or put a line through them?
Yeah, when you watch this race, and I've watched hundreds of them, it's generally the last horse off the bridle. And what I mean, it's the one that's travelling, the last one that looks like he's still got a little bit of a kick left. That's generally the winner. And like this year's race is obviously going to be a great rendition. You know, I think there's a few sort of question marks and a few things will be answered on the day. You've obviously got the raging favourite. Coming off what was a... I mean, I know we expect him to win all the time, but it just looked a bit below standard last start in Zaki. And then you have Very Elegant doing exactly the same thing. You've got Gold Trip now. He's got a little bit of an injury cloud over him, I believe. And, you know, and then you've got this wonderful three-year-old, Animo. Like, they get into this race with ridiculously 3.5 and... He looks like the best three-year-old that we've seen actually run in the Cox Plate for quite a while. So it's going to be a fascinating contest.
How do you think the speed will play out in this race? I reckon it's one of the more interesting questions for this Cox Plate in particular, Glenn. Who do you expect to go to the front?
Zaki. I think Captive will be right there from barrier one. He'll kick up in the highest spot. But James knows his horse like nobody else.
Yep.
And he understands that this horse you've actually got to let him use his stride. What I'm saying is you've just got to let him get into his rhythm. And his history will say for this horse, in his short history that he's been in Australia, that the faster the run race, and whether that's him making the speed, but the faster and stronger the race is run, he just seems to get better. He's got he must have an amazing heart score and aerobic capacity, this horse. So, you know, he was last start ridden, you know, in a 1-1 position and a tricky affair where they went slow and it's a sprint, and it just never suited him at all.
Bossy, Flemington Carnival and your plans for the next few weeks, what are we keeping an eye on that you're on board?
I'm starting from scratch at the moment. my whole spring got turned on its head a couple of months ago. I should have been down here 2 months ago, unfortunately, but due to the restrictions and the COVID, all that stuff, it got turned on there. But no, listen, I'm down here for good now, boys. I'm back home, and I'm staying in Melbourne for good now. I'm like we considered Melbourne our home. My wife and I, because my kids live here. We're back here for good. Looking far beyond the spring, to be honest.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to seeing you in the spring and what comes of the autumn as well. Hey, Bossy, we had Greg Carpenter on last night. Had a fascinating chat around weights, you know, in a lot of the big races, particularly the Melbourne Cup. We always go back to 03, 04 and 05 with Mackay Beaver, and you just shake my head still that you're on board Mackay Beaver carrying 58 kilos and still able to do what that amazing horse was able to. But since then, no one's really been able to go near carrying any sort of great weight. And we see what the penalty to incentivise is. How hard is it for a horse to carry anything more than 56 and a half, 57, and run the 3200 better than anyone else?
Yeah, well, what it is, it's relative to what's the horses are down the bottom and what form they're in. And I think this year is going to be a different year. Obviously, not many internationals coming this year. As you've seen with the Caulfield Cup, obviously the winner's very good. But when you go beyond the winner, they're nice horses, but they're no stars. Mm. So we're going to have we're going to have much the same thing in the Melbourne Cup. Now, Incentivise he's a star. There's no doubt he's a very good horse. But he's going to meet what I'd consider a new superstar in Spanish Mission on level weights. Now, this horse brings Stradivarius form to Australia, and tested Stradivarius on several occasions. Now, that horse, if Stradivarius was here, he would be the shortest price favourite we'd ever seen in a Melbourne Cup, and he would win easily. There's no doubt. So the long answer to your question is that I think it's going to be a bit of a top weights race this year, because I think that's where the class is. Horses like Spanish Mission, obviously Incentivise, he's going to be hard to beat again. Very elegant. Don't knock her. She ran amazingly last year. These type of horses, I think, because when you look down the bottom, I just can't see the winner coming from down there, to be honest.
Bossy, great to have you on. It's great to have you back home where you belong as well. And I'm sure it's been a crazy ride with COVID, as it has been for so many people. We're looking forward to watching you over the next couple of months. Thanks so much for coming on.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your support.